Rain gushed across the leads of Unseen University and poured into the gutters where ravens' nests, abandoned since the summer, floated like very badly built boats. The water gurgled along ancient crusted pipes. It found its way under tiles and said hello to the spiders under the eaves. It leapt from gables and formed secret lakes high amongst the spires. Whole ecologies lived in the endless rooftops of the university, which by comparison made Gormenghast look like a tool shed on a railway allotment. Birds sang in tiny jungles grown from apple pips and weed seeds. Little frogs swam in the upper gutters, and a colony of ants were busily inventing an interesting and complex civilization. One thing the water couldn't do was gurgle out of the ornamental gargoyles ranged around the roofs. This was because the gargoyles wandered off and sheltered in the attics at the first sign of rain. They held that just because you were ugly, it didn't mean you were stupid. It rained streams. It rained rivers. It rained seas. But mainly it rained through the roof of the Great Hall, where the duel between Granny and Cute Angle had left a very large hole. And Treacle felt that it was somehow raining on him personally. He stood on a table organising the teams of students who were taking down the paintings and ancient tapestries before they got soaked. It had to be a table, because the floor was already several inches deep in water. Not rainwater, unfortunately. This was water with real personality. The kind of distinctive character water gets after a long journey through silty countryside. It had the thick texture of authentic ank water, too stiff to drink, too runny to plough. The river had burst its banks, and a million little watercourses were flowing backwards, bursting in through the cellars and playing peekaboo under the flagstones. There was the occasional distant boom as some forgotten magic in a drowned dungeon shorted out and surrendered up its power. Treacle wasn't at all keen on some of the unpleasant bubblings and hissings that were escaping to the surface. He thought again how nice it would be to be the sort of wizard who lived in a little cave somewhere and collected herbs and thought significant thoughts and knew what the owls were saying. But probably the cave would be damp and the herbs would be poisonous, and Treacle could never be sure, when all was said and done, exactly what thoughts were really significant. He got down awkwardly and paddled through the dark swirling waters. Well, he had done his best. He'd tried to organise the senior wizards into repairing the roof by magic, but there was a general argument over the spells that could be used and a consensus that this was in any case work for artisans. That's wizards for you, he thought gloomily, as he waded between the dripping arches, always probing the infinite, but never noticing the definite, especially in the matter of household chores. We never had this trouble before that woman came. He squelched up the steps, lit by a particularly impressive flash of lightning. He had a cold certainty that while, of course, no one could possibly blame him for all this, everybody would. He seized the hem of his robe and wrung it out wretchedly. Then he reached for his tobacco pouch. It was a nice green waterproof one. That meant that all the rain that had got into it couldn't get out again. It was indescribable. He found his little clip of papers. They were fused into one lump, like the legendary pound note found in the back pockets of trousers after they have been washed, spun, dried, and ironed. "Bugger!" he said with feeling.
"I say, Treacle!"
Treacle looked around. He had been the last to leave the hall, where even now some of the benches were beginning to float. Whirlpools and patches of bubble marked the spots where magic was leaking from the cellars, but there was no one to be seen. Unless, of course, one of the statues had spoken. They had been too heavy to move, and Treacle remembered telling the students that a thorough wash would probably do them good. He looked at their stern faces and regretted it. The statues of very powerful dead mages were sometimes more lifelike than statues had any right to be. Maybe he should have kept his voice down.
"Yes,"
he ventured, acutely aware of the stony stairs.
"Up here, you fool!"
He looked up. The broomstick descended heavily through the rain in a series of swoops and jerks. About 5 feet above the water, it lost its few remaining aerial pretensions and flopped noisily into a whirlpool.
"Don't stand there, idiot!"
Treacle peered nervously into the gloom.
"I've got to stand somewhere," he said.
"I mean, give us a hand,"
snapped Cutangle, rising from the wavelets like a fat and angry Venus.
"The lady first, of course."
He turned to Granny, who was fishing around in the water.
"I've lost my hat," she said.
Cutangle sighed.
"Does that really matter at a time like this?"
"A witch has got to have a hat, otherwise who's to know?" said Granny.
She made a grab as something dark and sodden drifted by, cackled triumphantly, tipped out the water, and rammed the hat on her head. It had lost its stiffening and flopped rather rakishly over one eye.
"Right," she said in a tone of voice that suggested the whole universe had just better watch out.
There was another brilliant flash of lightning, which shows that even the weather gods have a well-developed sense of theatre.
"It rather suits you,"
said Cutangle.
"Excuse me," said Treacle, "but isn't she the—"
"Never mind that,"
said Cutangle, taking Granny's hand and helping her up the steps. He flourished the staff.
"But it's against the law to allow—"
He stopped and stared as Granny reached out and touched the damp wall by the door. Cutangle tapped him on the chest.
"Show me where it's written down," said Cutangle.
"They're in the library,"
Granny interrupted.
"It was the only dry place," said Treacle, "but—" "This building is frightened of thunderstorms," said Granny. "It could do with comforting."
"But the law," repeated Treacle desperately.
Granny was already striding down the passage, with Cutangle hopping along behind. He turned.
"You heard the lady,"
he said. Treacle watched them go, with his mouth hanging open. When their footsteps had died away in the distance, he stood silently for a moment, thinking about life and where his could have gone wrong. However, he wasn't going to be accused of disobedience. Very carefully, without knowing exactly why, he reached out and gave the wall a friendly pat.
"There, there," he said.
Strangely enough, he felt a lot better.